This is Audible.
Audible Studios presents Too Late, Definitive Edition. Written by Colleen Hoover. Performed by Ryan Gray, Maxine Mitchell, and Joe Arden.
1. Sloane. Warm fingers entwine with mine, pressing my hands deeper into the mattress. My eyelids are too heavy to open from the lack of sleep I've had this week. The lack of sleep I've had all month, really. Hell, this whole damn year. I moan and attempt to squeeze my legs together, but I can't. There's pressure everywhere, on my chest, against my cheek, between my legs. It takes me a few seconds to pull my mind out of its sleepy haze, but I'm awake enough to know what he's doing. Asa, I mumble, irritated. Get off me. He thrusts his weight against me repetitively, groaning against my ear, his morning stubble cutting into my cheek. I'm almost done, babe. He breathes against my neck. I attempt to pull my hands out from beneath his, but he squeezes them tighter, reminding me that I'm nothing more than a prisoner in my own bed, and he's the warden of the bedroom. Asa has always had a way of making me feel like my body was at his disposal. He's never mean or forceful about it. He's just needy. And I find it really inconvenient. Like right now, at 6 o'clock in the damn morning. I can guess the time by the sunlight peeking through the crack under the door and the fact that Asa is just now coming to bed after last night's party. I, however, have to be in class in less than 2 hours. This isn't how I would have chosen to be torn from sleep after only 3 hours of it. I wrap my legs around his waist and hope he thinks I'm into this. When I act half interested, he gets it over with more quickly. He palms my right breast, and I let out the expected moan, just as he begins to shudder. Fuck, he groans, burying his face in my hair, slowly rocking against me. After several seconds, he collapses on top of me and sighs heavily, then kisses my cheek and rolls onto his side of the bed. He stands up and removes the condom and tosses it into the trash can, then grabs a bottle of water off the bedside table. He brings the bottle to his lips, raking his eyes over my exposed flesh. His lips pull into a lazy grin. He stands confidently naked by the bed, gulping the last of the water. Despite his good looks, he has his faults. In fact, his looks may be the only thing about him I don't find fault in. He's cocky, quick-tempered, hard to handle sometimes. But he loves me. He loves the hell out of me. And I'd be lying if I said I didn't love him in return. There are so many things I would change about him if I could, but right now he's all I have. So I deal with it. He brought me in when I had nowhere else to go, no one else to turn to. For that reason alone, I put up with him. I have no other choice. He brings his hand up and wipes his mouth, then tosses the empty bottle into the trash can. He runs his hand through his thick brown hair and winks at me, then drops back onto the bed and leans in, kissing me softly on the lips. Good night, babe, he says as he rolls onto his back. You mean good morning, I say as I reluctantly pull myself out of bed. My t-shirt is bunched around my waist, so I pull it down and grab some pants and a different shirt. I walk across the hallway to the shower, relieved that one of our countless roommates isn't occupying the only upstairs bathroom. I check the time on my phone and cringe when I realize I won't even have enough time to stop for coffee. It's the first class of the semester, and I already plan to use it to catch up on sleep. This isn't looking good. There's no way I can keep this up. Asa never goes to class on a regular basis, yet he always passes with near-perfect grades. I'm struggling to keep my head above water, and I didn't miss a single day last semester. Well, in physical form. Unfortunately, we live with so many other people, there's never a quiet moment in the house. I catch myself falling asleep in class more often than not. It's the only time I get peace and quiet. The parties seem to go on all hours of the day and night, regardless of who has class the next day. Weekends have no separation from weekdays in our house, and rent has no bearing over who lives here. I don't even know who lives here half the time. Asa owns the house, but he loves being around people, so he likes the revolving door free-for-all. If I had the means, I'd have my own place in a heartbeat. But I don't. That just means one more year of pure hell before I graduate. One more year before I'm free. I pull my shirt over my head and drop it to the floor, then pull the shower curtain back. As soon as I reach down for the nozzle, I scream at the top of my lungs. Passed out in the tub, fully clothed, is our newest full-time roommate, Dalton. He jerks awake and smashes his forehead into the faucet above it, letting out a yell. I reach down and grab my shirt just as the door bursts open and Asa rushes in.
Sloan, are you okay?
He says, frantically, spinning me around to check me for injuries. I nod feverishly and point to Dalton in the tub. Dalton groans.
I'm not okay.
He palms his freshly injured forehead and attempts to crawl out of the tub. Asa looks at me, down at my naked body being covered by the shirt in my hands, then looks back at Dalton. I'm afraid he's about to get the wrong idea, so I start to explain, but he cuts me off with a loud, unexpected burst of laughter.
Did you do that to him?
He's pointing at Dalton's head. I shake my head. He hit his head on the faucet when I screamed. Asa laughs even harder and reaches a hand down to Dalton, then pulls him the rest of the way out of the tub.
Come on, man. You need a beer. Cure for hangovers.
He pushes Dalton out of the bathroom and follows behind him, closing the door when he leaves. I stand frozen, still clutching my shirt to my chest. The sad part is, this is the third time this has happened. A different idiot every time, passed out in the tub. I make a mental note to check the tub from now on, before undressing.
2. Carter. I pull the schedule out of my pocket and unfold it to look for the room number. This is such crap, I say into the phone. I graduated college 3 years ago. I didn't sign up for this shit so I could do homework. Dalton laughs loudly, forcing me to pull the phone several inches away from my ear. Boo fucking who, he says. I had to sleep in a damn bathtub last night. Suck it up, man. Acting the role is part of the job. Easy for you to say. You were signed up for one class a week. I have three. Why'd Young only give you one? Maybe I give better head, Dalton says. I look down at my schedule and up at the number on the door in front of me, finding a match. I gotta go. La clase de Español. Carter, wait. His tone is more serious. Dalton clears his throat and prepares for his partner pep talk. I've been suffering through them on a daily basis since we started working together. He doesn't have to remind me why we're here. I realize I have a duty. My duty is to complete the job I'm being paid to do, which is to bust the largest campus drug ring in collegiate history. The drug problem at the local university has multiplied tenfold in the past 3 years alone. Rumor has it that Asa Jackson is the sole reason for that. Asa and all the people in his circle, which is why Dalton and I are here, to identify the key players. Dalton and I are only a small part of this sting, but it's the small parts that make up a huge whole, and every one of our roles is vital. Even the role of pretending to be a college student. Again. I just wish I would have started the semester last week like everyone else in this class, but the department took forever to get me set up in the system. Try to make it fun, man, Dalton says. We're so close to getting everything we need. You'll be here 2 months tops. Find a hot piece of ass to sit by. It'll make the days go by faster. I look through the window of the classroom door. It's practically at full capacity with only 3 empty seats. My gaze immediately falls on a girl in the back of the room next to one of the empty chairs. Her dark hair is spilled over her face while she rests her head on her arms. She's asleep. I can sit by the sleepers. It's the incessant talkers I can't tolerate. Look at that. Already found me a hot piece of ass to sit by. I'll check in with you after lunch. I end the call and swing open the classroom door as I turn off the volume on my phone. I hoist the strap of my backpack onto my shoulder as I make my way up the steps to the back of the room. I squeeze past her to the empty seat, tossing my backpack on the floor and my phone onto the table. The sound my phone makes when it meets the solid wood jolts the girl from her sleep. She immediately sits up, wide-eyed. She looks around the room, frantic and confused, then down at the notebook on her desk. I pull the chair out and sit down next to her. She glares at my phone, lying on the table in front of us, and then looks at me. Her hair is a wild mess, and there's a shiny trail of drool running from the corner of her lip down her chin. She's glaring at me like I've interrupted the only minute of sleep she's ever had. "Late night?" I ask. I bend over and open my backpack, pulling out the Spanish textbook I could more than likely recite from memory.
"Is class over?"
she asks, her eyes narrowed at the book I'm placing on the desk in front of me. "Depends."
"On what?"
"On how long you've been passed out," I say. "I'm not sure which class you're here for, but this is the 10 o'clock Spanish class." She throws her elbow onto the desk in front of her and groans, running her hands over her face.
"I've been asleep for 5 minutes. That's it?"
She leans back into her seat and slouches down, resting her head on the back of her chair. "Wake me up when it's over, okay?" She's looking at me, waiting on me to agree. I tap my finger to my chin. "You've got a little something right here." She wipes at her mouth and pulls her hand back to inspect it. I expect her to be embarrassed by the fact that she's got drool running down her face, but instead she rolls her eyes and tucks the sleeve of her shirt under her thumb. She wipes the puddle of drool off the table with her sleeve and then slouches back down in her seat, closing her eyes. "I've been through college before. I know how it is with the late nights, the partying, the studying, and never having time for it all. But this girl seems stressed to the max. I'm curious if it's due to maybe having a night shift or way too much partying." I reach down into my backpack and pull the energy drink out that I picked up on the way here this morning. I'm thinking she needs it more than I do. "Here." I set it on the desk in front of her. "Drink this." She slowly pries her eyes open as if her eyelids weigh 1,000 pounds each. She looks down at the drink, then quickly grabs it and pops the top. She gulps the contents frantically like it's the first thing she's had to drink in days. "You're welcome," I laugh. She finishes the drink and sets it back on the table, wiping her mouth with the same sleeve she wiped away the drool with earlier. I'm not gonna lie, her unkempt, sloppily sexy demeanor is a major turn-on in a weird way.
"Thanks," she says, wiping the hair out of her eyes.
She looks at me and smiles, then stretches her arms out behind her and yawns. The door to the classroom opens and everyone shifts in their seats, indicating the entrance of the instructor. But I can't take my eyes off of her long enough to even validate his presence. She combs through the strands of her hair with her fingers. It's still slightly damp, and I can smell the floral scent of her shampoo when she flips her hair back over her shoulders. It's long and dark and thick, just like the lashes that line her eyes. She glances toward the front of the room and opens her notebook, so I mirror her movements and do the same. The professor greets us in Spanish, and we return his salutations in collective broken responses. He begins giving instructions on an assignment when my phone lights up on the table between us. I look down at the incoming text message from Dalton. "Does this hot piece of ass you're sitting next to have a name?" I immediately flip the phone over, hoping she didn't read it. She brings her hand to her mouth to cover her laugh. Crap, she read it. "Hot piece of ass, huh?" she says. "I'm sorry, my friend, he thinks he's funny, also likes to make my life hell." She arches an eyebrow and turns toward me. "So you don't think I'm a hot piece of ass?" With her facing me head on, it's the first chance I've actually had to get a good look at her. Let's just say I'm officially in love with this class now. I shrug my shoulders. "With all due respect, you've been sitting down since I met you. I haven't even seen your ass." She laughs again. "Sloan," she says, extending her hand. I take her hand in mine. There's a small crescent-shaped scar on her thumb. I run my thumb across it and twist her hand back and forth, inspecting the scar. "Sloan," I repeat, letting her name roll off the tip of my tongue.
"This is usually the point during introductions that one would reply with their own name," she says.
I glance back up at her and she pulls her hand away, looking at me inquisitively. "Carter," I reply, keeping in character with who I'm supposed to be. It's been hard enough referring to Ryan as Dalton for the past 6 weeks, but I've gotten used to it. Calling myself Carter is another story. I've more than once slipped up and almost used my real name.
"Mucho gusto,"
she says in an almost perfect accent, turning her attention toward the front of the room. No, the pleasure is mine, believe me. The professor instructs the class to turn to the closest partner and state three facts about the other person in Spanish. This is my fourth year of Spanish, so I decide to let Sloane go first so I don't intimidate her. We turn toward each other and I nod my head at her. Las señoras primera, I say. No, we'll take turns, she says. You first, go ahead, tell me a fact about myself. Okay, I say, laughing at how she just took control. Usted es mandona. That's an opinion, not a fact, she states. But I'll give it to you. I tilt my head in her direction. You understood what I just said? She nods her head. If you intended to call me bossy, then yes. She narrows her eyes, but a tiny smile forces its way through. My turn, she says. Su compañera de clase es bella. I laugh. She just complimented herself by telling me that my class partner is beautiful. I nod in unabashed agreement. Mi compañera de clase está correcta. I can see the blush rise to her cheeks despite her tanned skin. How old are you? She asks. That's a question, not a fact, and in English, no less. I need to ask a question to get to the fact. You look a little older than most sophomore Spanish students. How old do you think I am? 23, 24, she says. She's not too far off. I'm 25, but she doesn't need to know that. 22, I say. Tiene 22 años, she says, stating her second fact about me. You cheat, I reply. You have to say that in Spanish if that's one of your facts about me. Usted engaña. I can tell by the arch in her eyebrow that she wasn't expecting me to know that one in Spanish. That's three for you, she says. You still have one more. Usted es un perro. I laugh. You just accidentally called me a dog. She shakes her head. It wasn't an accident. Her phone vibrates, so she pulls it out of her pocket and gives it her full attention. I lean back in my chair and grab my own phone, pretending to do the same. We sit silently while the rest of the class finishes the assignment. I watch out of the corner of my eye as she texts, her thumbs flying quickly over the screen of her phone. She's cute. I like that I'm looking forward to this class now. 3 days a week doesn't seem like enough all of a sudden. There's roughly 15 minutes left of class, and I'm doing my damnedest to keep myself from staring at her. She hasn't said anything else since she referred to me as a dog. I watch as she doodles in her notebook, not paying attention to a single word the instructor has said. She's either bored out of her mind or she's somewhere else entirely. I lean forward, attempting to get a better look at what she's writing. I feel nosy, but then again she did read my text earlier, so I feel justified. Her pen is frantically moving over the paper, possibly a result of the energy drink she downed. I read the sentences as she jots them down. They don't make a lick of sense, no matter how many times I read them. Trains and buses stole my shoes, and now I have to eat raw squid. I laugh at the randomness of all the sentences sprawled across her page, and she glances up at me. I meet her gaze, and she grins mischievously. She looks down at her notebook and taps her pen against it. I get bored, she whispers. I don't have a very good attention span. I normally have a great attention span, but apparently not while I'm sitting next to her. Sometimes I don't either, I say. I reach across the desk and point at her words. What is that? A secret code? She shrugs her shoulders and drops her pen, then slides the notebook closer to me. It's just something stupid I do when I'm bored. I like to see how many random things I can think up without actually thinking. The more they don't make sense, the more I win. The more you win? I ask, hoping for clarification. This girl is an enigma. How could you lose if you're the only one playing your game? Her smile disappears and she glances away, staring down at the notebook in front of her. She delicately traces her finger over the letters in one of the words. I wonder what the hell I just said to change her demeanor so drastically and so fast. She picks her pen up and hands it to me, shaking away whatever thoughts just darkened her mind. Try it, she says. It's highly addictive. I take the pen from her hand and find an open spot on her page. So I just write anything, whatever comes to mind. No, she says. The exact opposite. Try not to think about it. Try not to let anything come to mind, just write. I press the pen to the paper and do exactly what she says. I just write. I dropped a can of corn down the laundry chute. Now my mother cries rainbows. I lay the pen down, feeling slightly stupid. She covers her mouth to stifle a laugh after she reads it. She turns to a fresh page and writes, "You're a natural," then hands me the pen again. "Thank you. Unicorn juice helps me breathe when I listen to disco." She laughs again and takes the pen from my hand just as the professor dismisses class. Everyone throws their books in their bags and slides out of their seats in a hurry. Everyone but us. We're both staring down at the page, smiling, not moving. She puts her hand on the notebook and slowly shuts it, then slides it down the table and into her backpack. She looks back at me. "Don't get up yet," she says as she stands up. "Why not?" "Because you need to sit there while I walk away so you can determine whether or not I really am a fine piece of ass." She winks at me and spins around. Oh my God. I do exactly what she says, planting my eyes directly on her ass, and just my luck, it's perfect. Every bit of her body is perfect. I sit completely still as I watch her descend the stairs. Where the hell did this girl come from? And where the hell has she been all my life? I curse the fact that whatever just happened between us is all that could ever happen. Relationships never begin well with lies, especially lies like mine. She glances over her shoulder before she walks out the door, and I bring my gaze back up to her eyes. I give her a thumbs up. She laughs and disappears out the classroom door. I gather my things and attempt to get her out of my head. I need to be on point tonight. There's too much riding on this to be distracted by such a beautiful, perfect ass.
3. Sloane. I finish the day's homework at the library, knowing I won't be able to concentrate once I step foot back in the house. When I first moved in with Asa, I was one night away from being evicted from the couch I was crashing on, not to mention all the other financial issues I dealt with. We had only been dating 2 months, but I had nowhere else to go. That was over 2 years ago. I knew, based on the cars he drove and the size of his house, that he had money. What I wasn't sure of was whether or not it was old money or if he was involved in something he shouldn't have been involved in. I was hoping it would be the former, but me and hope have never had good results. He hid that he sold drugs pretty well for the first couple of months, excusing his spending habits on the illusion that he had a big inheritance. I believed him for a while. I had no choice but to believe him. When people I didn't know began showing up at odd hours of the night and Asa only spoke to them behind closed doors, it became more and more obvious. He tried to explain his reasoning and swore he only sold harmless drugs to people who were going to find it somewhere else anyway. I didn't want any part of it, so when he refused to stop, I left. The only problem was, I had nowhere to go. I crashed on a few friends' couches, but none of them had room or money to keep supporting me. I would have resorted to a homeless shelter before going back to Asa, but it wasn't my life I was worried about. It was my little brother's. Stephen has never had it easy. He was born with a lot of issues, both mentally and physically. He was receiving state funding for his care and had finally been put in a good home I could trust with him. But when that was cut off, I couldn't risk him being sent back home to my mother. I didn't want him back in that life, and I'd do anything to make sure he wasn't a part of it ever again. I was gone all of 2 weeks when my brother's group home funding from the state was canceled. I wasn't in a position to take Stephen in, and if I had taken him out of the group home that was so hard to get him into, he would lose access to the care he needs. I had no one else to turn to other than Asa, because he was the only one willing to help us. Walking back through his door and asking for his help was the hardest thing I've ever had to do. It was as if running back into his arms was the equivalent of relinquishing my self-respect. He let me move back in, but not without consequences. Now that he knew exactly how much I had to depend on him to pay for Stephen's care, he stopped hiding his lifestyle. More and more people came over, and transactions were out in the open rather than behind closed doors. Now, there are constantly so many people in and out of the house that it's difficult to differentiate between the people who live here, the people who crash here, and complete strangers. Every night is a party, and every party is my nightmare. Every week that passes, the atmosphere becomes more and more dangerous, and I want out more than ever. I've been working part-time on campus in the library, but they don't have a student worker position for me this semester. I'm on a waiting list, and I've been applying for other jobs, trying desperately to add to my escape cash. It wouldn't be so hard if it were just myself I had to care for, but with Steven in the picture, it'll take money that I don't have. Money that I won't have for a while. In the meantime, I have to keep up appearances by acting like I still owe my life to Asa, when in reality, I feel like he's ruining it. Don't get me wrong, I do love him. I love who I know he could be someday, but I'm also not naive. As many promises as he's made me that he's scaling down the business in preparation to get out, I know he won't. I've tried to talk some sense into him, but when you've got the power in your hands and the money in your pocket, it's hard to walk away. He'll never walk away. He'll either do this until he's in prison or until he's dead. And I don't want to be around for either. I don't even try to identify the vehicles in the driveway anymore. Every day, there's a new one. I park Ace's car and grab my things, then head inside for another night of hell. When I walk inside, the house is eerily quiet. I shut the door behind me and smile, relishing the fact that everyone's out back at the pool. I never get a chance for solitude, so I take advantage and put in my headphones and begin cleaning. I know it doesn't sound like fun, but for me, it's my only chance to escape. Not to mention, the house is a constant pigsty. I start in the living room and throw away enough beer bottles to fill a 30-gallon trash bag. When I reach the kitchen and witness the mountain of dishes piled in the sink, I actually smile. This should waste at least an hour. I organize the dirty dishes to the left of the sink and begin filling the basin with water. I begin to sway to the music spilling into my ears from the headphones. I haven't felt so at peace in this house since the first 2 months I lived here. Back when the good Asa was around, the Asa who used to say sweet things to me and take me out on dates and put me before anyone and everyone else. I remember a time when we would occasionally be alone in this house together, when he would order dinner and we'd snuggle on the couch for a movie night. As soon as memories of the Asa I fell in love with flood my mind, I feel his arms wrap around me from behind. At first, it startles me. But then I smell his cologne, the same Dior scent he wore on our first date. He begins swaying to the music with me, holding me gently. I smile and keep my eyes closed, wrapping my hands in his, then lean back against his chest. He kisses my ear, then laces his fingers with mine and spins me around to face him. When I open my eyes, he's smiling down at me with a genuinely sweet expression. I haven't seen this look in his eyes in so long, it makes my heart ache, knowing how much I've missed it. Maybe he really is trying. Maybe he's tired of this life, too. He takes my face in his hands and kisses me. A long, passionate kiss that I forgot he was even capable of. Lately, the only time I get kissed is when he's on top of me in our bed. I wrap my arms around his neck and kiss him back. I kiss him desperately. I kiss the old Asa, not knowing how long I'll have him here with me like this. He pulls back and takes the headphones out of my ears.
Somebody wants a continuation of this morning, huh?
I kiss him again and smile, nodding my head. I do. If this is the Asa I'll get in my bed, I actually do. He puts his hands on my shoulders and laughs.
Not in front of the company, Sloane.
Company. I squeeze my eyes shut, scared to turn around, unaware that we were being observed.
There's someone I want you to meet, he says.
He spins me around and I open one eye, then the other, hoping the shock I feel in my stomach isn't clearly sprawled across my face. leaning up against the doorframe with his arms folded across his chest and a hard look in his eyes, is all 6 feet of Carter. The guy I flirted with in class just a few hours ago. I gasp, mostly because he's the last person I expected to see here. Standing in front of him now is suddenly more intimidating than sitting next to him in class was this morning. He's a lot taller than I thought, taller than Asa even. He's not as defined as Asa, but then again, Asa works out every day and, based on the size of his biceps, probably dabbles in steroids. Carter is more naturally built, with a darker complexion and darker hair and, at the moment, very dark, angry eyes.
"Hey,"
Carter says, easing his expression with a smile, extending his hand to me without a trace of recognition on his face. I realize he's pretending not to know me for my own benefit. Or perhaps for his own benefit, so I return his handshake, introducing myself to him for the second time today. "I'm Sloane," I say shakily, hoping he can't feel my racing pulse through the palm of my hand. I cut the handshake short and pull back. "So how do you and Asa know each other?" I'm not sure I want to know the answer, but the question spills out of my mouth anyway. Asa puts his arm around my waist and spins me in the other direction, away from Carter.
"He's my new business partner, and right now we've got business to conduct. Go clean somewhere else."
He pats me on the ass, attempting to shoo me away like a dog. I spin around and scowl at him, but it's not nearly as intense as the hatred spilling out of Carter's eyes as he watches Asa. I normally don't push things with Asa, especially in front of other people, but I can't help my temper right now. I'm furious at his cavalier attitude about bringing in someone else, despite the fact that he promised me he was getting out. I also can't deny the fact that I'm pissed that it's Carter. I'm angry with myself for developing a false first impression of him in class today. I thought I was better at reading people, but the fact that he's involved with Asa shows me that I don't know a damn thing about reading anyone. He's just like the rest of them, but I should expect it by now. As hard as I try, as hard as it was leaving my childhood home in order to get away from this same type of lifestyle, only to end up right back in it, it makes me feel ignorant. My parents were users, and I swore that as soon as I could get away from their dangerous lifestyles, I would leave and never look back. But here I am, at 21 years old, already living a life that is no better than the one I grew up in. How can I crave and work toward a normal life so incredibly bad, yet I keep falling right back in the middle of this shit? It's a damn curse. "Asa, you promised." I toss my hand in Carter's direction. "Hiring new people isn't getting out. It's getting in deeper." I feel hypocritical asking him to stop doing what he does. Every month, I let him send a check for Steven's care with the same dirty money I wish he wasn't making. But it's easier for me to allow that, since it's not for me. I'd take the dirtiest money there is if it meant my little brother would be taken care of. Asa's eyes grow dark, and he takes a step toward me. He gently places his hands on my arms and rubs them up and down. He leans his mouth in toward my ear and increases his grip on my arms, squeezing with all his force until I wince from the pain.
"Don't embarrass me,"
he whispers quietly enough that only I can hear him. He eases his grip and runs his hands down to my elbows, then kisses me lovingly on the cheek for show.
"Go put on that sexy red dress. We're having a party tonight to celebrate."
He steps back and releases me from his grip completely. I glance at Carter, who's still standing in the doorway, eyeing Asa like he could rip his head off at any second. He cuts his eyes to mine, and for a second, they grow softer. But I don't hang around long enough to be positive. I turn and run up the stairs to the bedroom. I slam the door and fall onto the bed. The muscles in my arms are throbbing from the pain, so I try to rub it away. It's the first time he's ever physically hurt me in front of someone, but the injury to my pride hurts so much worse. I never should have questioned him in front of someone. I know better. I'll probably have bruises on my arms tomorrow. but at least they won't remain forever, like the scars my parents left on me. I stare down at the crescent-shaped scar on my thumb, remembering the time my mother tried to burn me with the car cigarette lighter when I was 12. I have no idea why she was mad at me, but I pulled my hand away as soon as I realized what she was doing. But I wasn't fast enough. Now, every time I stare at my scar, I'm reminded of my life with her. At least the bruises will fade. But how long until Asa begins to leave more permanent scars on me? I know that I don't deserve what he just did to me. No one does. But if I don't get out soon, it's going to get worse. Situations like this rarely ever change for the better. I want to grab my bags and pack everything I own. I want to leave and never come back. I want out. I want out. I want out. I want out. But I can't leave yet. It's not just me who would be affected.
4. Carter.
Sorry about her, Asa says, turning back to me. I unclench my fists and attempt to hide my disdain. I've known him all of 3 hours, and I've never despised someone more in my entire life.
It's all good, I reply. I walk over to the bar and casually ease myself into one of the seats at the table, despite the fact that I want to run upstairs and make sure Sloane's okay. My mind is still reeling from the fact that Sloane is involved in this. Dalton never mentioned Asa's girlfriend to me in detail. He just mentioned he had one. He certainly didn't tell me I'd be in class with her. Sloane was the last person I expected to run into coming here. Watching Asa kiss her like he did and watching her respond like she did made me officially regret taking on this assignment. This just became a hell of a lot more complicated. She lives with you? I ask. Asa hands me a beer out of the fridge and I untwist the top, then bring it to my mouth.
Yep, he says, and I'll cut off your dick if you so much as look at her the wrong way.
I eye him, but he doesn't skip a beat. He shuts the door to the refrigerator and saunters to a seat on the other side of the bar as though the sentence never even left his mouth. That he can physically hurt her like he just did, then act like he gives a shit about her, has me floored. I want to bust the fucking beer bottle against his head, but instead I grip it harder, keeping my temper in check. He opens his beer and raises the bottle.
To money, he says, clinking the bottle against mine.
To money.
And watching assholes get what they deserve.
Dalton walks in, interrupting with perfect timing. He looks at me and nods, then turns his attention to Asa.
Hey, man, John wants to know what to do about the alcohol situation. Is it BYOB tonight, or are we providing? Because we don't have shit.
Asa slams his beer down on the bar and shoves his chair back, standing up.
I told that asshole to stock up yesterday.
Asa storms out of the kitchen. Dalton nudges his head toward the front door and I get up and follow him outside. Once we're alone in the middle of the front yard, he turns toward me and takes a swig of his beer, mostly for show. Dalton hates beer.
How'd it go? You think you're in? He asks.
I shrug. I guess. He's desperate for someone who can speak Spanish. I told him I was good, but not fluent.
Dalton gapes at me.
Just like that? No questions asked? He shakes his head in disbelief.
God, he's such a dumbass. Why do the new ones think they're so untouchable? Fucking pretentious prick.
Yep, I say in wholehearted agreement.
I warned you about this job, Luke. It'll fuck with your head having to live like this. You sure you want in on this one?
There's no way I can back out now, knowing how close Dalton and the others are to nailing him.
You just called me Luke.
Shit. Dalton kicks at the ground with a shoe and looks back up at me.
Sorry, man. We still on to meet tomorrow? Young wants a full report now that you're in.
Some of us have class tomorrow, I say, rubbing it in yet again that I got the shitty end of the assignment.
I'll be out by noon, though.
Dalton nods and turns back toward the house.
You invite that hot piece of ass from your Spanish class to the party?
This isn't her style. Not to mention the fact that she doesn't need an invite. She's smack dab in the middle of this shit. He nods, knowing inviting someone into this lifestyle is something I would never do. Dalton can take on and absorb his role like nothing I've ever seen. He's had long-term relationships while undercover, even went so far as to propose once just to keep up appearances. Of course, once the job's over, he has no problem disappearing. There's still a huge part of me that knows every person I meet while I'm Carter is still that, a person. I don't want to mislead anyone unnecessarily, so I make it a point to be on guard and never let these things go too deep. He closes the door behind him and I stand alone in the front yard, staring at the house that has just become my assignment for the next 2 months. Undercover work wasn't really what I joined the force for, but it's what I'm good at. Unfortunately, I've got a really bad feeling about this one, and I've only been here a day. I spend the next couple of hours being escorted in and out of rooms by Asa, shaking hands with more people than I can count. At first, I try to keep mental notes of everyone I meet and the way they interact with Asa, but by the fourth beer that is shoved into my hands, I stop trying. There'll be plenty of time to get to know everyone. I don't need to be too focused right now. I'm still so new to this crowd, I don't want to give anyone reason for suspicion. I finally break away long enough to go look for a bathroom. When I find one, the guy I now know as John and two girls who can't be older than 19 occupy it. I close the door faster than I opened it, then head upstairs, hoping to find one that isn't being used as a brothel. I remain in the bathroom for a good 10 minutes longer than I need to. I pour my beer into the sink and fill the bottle with tap water, having gone well past my personal quota for the night. I need to spend the next few weeks completely sober. I stare at myself in the mirror, hoping I can pull this off. I'm not from this area, so I'm not worried about being recognized. What I'm worried about is the fact that I'm not like Dalton. I can't just turn it on and off like he does. The things I see here are the things I see when I close my eyes at night. And based on what I saw between Sloane and Asa today, I won't be getting much sleep. I run a washcloth under the water and wet my face, willing myself to sober up before I exit the bathroom. I toss the washcloth into the hamper of clothes. I stare at the hamper, full to the brim of dirty laundry, and wonder if Sloane is the only girl who lives here. I'm assuming she's probably the one who gets stuck with all the laundry, not to mention the rest of the house. When Asa and I walked in on her cleaning the kitchen this afternoon, he stopped in the doorway and watched her clean for a moment. I stood over his shoulder, taken aback by the fact that it was the same girl from class this morning, but more so by just how beautiful she was, swaying to the music. The lyrics to the iconic Rick Springfield song Jesse's Girl were running through my mind as I stood behind Asa, watching him watch her. I wanted to be the one watching her like that. Like she was mine. I inhale deeply and open the bathroom door. My eyes are pulled to the vision standing in the doorway across the hall. She spins around when she hears the bathroom door open and her slinky dress spins with her. When she comes to a standstill, I can't pull my eyes away from the dress. It hugs her in all the right places, the spaghetti straps holding up a barely there top that squeezes her breasts together, leaving no room for any type of bra. It pisses me off that I'm mentally thanking Asa for telling her to put on this dress. Breathe, Luke. Breathe. I finally bring my eyes to meet hers, and the look on her face doesn't match the sexy, confident attire she's sporting. It looks like she's been crying. You okay? I ask, taking a step toward her. She glances at the stairwell with a look of fear in her eyes, then back up at me. She nods and starts to head toward the stairs, so I reach out and grab her hand, pulling her back. Sloane, wait. She faces me. The girl I'm looking at right now is not the girl I met in class today. This girl is fragile, scared, broken. She takes a step toward me, folding her arms across her chest. She stares down at the floor between us, tugging on her lip with her teeth. Why are you here, Carter? I don't know how to answer her. I don't want to lie, but I also can't tell her the truth. I'm pretty sure it would be frowned upon if I told the girlfriend of the guy I'm trying to bust the real reason why I'm here. I was invited, I say. She darts her head up. You know what I mean. Why are you even involved in all of this? You're dating the very reason why I'm here, I say, referring to our mutual involvement with Asa. It's just a job. She rolls her eyes as though she's heard that excuse before, probably from Asa. But the difference between my excuse and Asa's is that mine is the truth. She just doesn't know exactly how much of a job it really is. I sigh and try to ease some of the tension between us. Sloane, I think it's safe to say we both left a few important facts out of our class assignment today. She releases a pained laugh. Yeah, he should have assigned us more than three. I think five would have covered it. Yep, I say. Five facts probably would have been enough to clue me into the fact that you have a boyfriend. She glances up at me, her chin tucked in. I'm sorry, she says quietly.
For what?
She drops her shoulders and lowers her voice even more. For the way I acted in class today, for flirting with you. I shouldn't have said some of the things I said. I swear I'm not that kind of girl. I would have never...
Sloan, I interrupt, hooking my finger under her chin. I stare down at her, knowing full well I need to drop my hand and back the fuck away from her. I don't think that about you at all. It was harmless fun, that's it.
The word harmless looms in the air like a dark, ominous cloud. We both know that Asa is anything but harmless. Talking to her in class, standing with her in this hallway, it's the harmless moments like these that, if they occur enough, will end up being a hell of a lot more than just harmless. Asa's threat from earlier repeats in my mind. Everything about this girl is off limits. Asa has made that clear. My career makes that clear. Why can't I see it that clearly? I begin to drop my hand when a voice from behind us causes us both to jump.
You're missing the party, man.
I spin around and Dalton is at the top of the stairwell, eyeing me like he's about to beat my ass. He has every right to, considering the mess I almost just got myself in.
Yeah, I take a deep breath and turn back around to face her.
We'll talk in class, I whisper. She nods and lets out a breath, relieved that the voice at the top of the stairs belonged to Dalton and not Asa. She's not the only one relieved by that. She turns around and heads back into her room, rather than downstairs. I can see now, based on her environment, why she doesn't get any sleep. As soon as the door closes behind her, I spin around and come face to face with Dalton. His nostrils are flaring, a dead giveaway that he's about to hit me. He shoves me against the wall and wedges his arm between my chest and throat.
Don't fuck this up, he seethes.
He slaps his palm against the side of my head.
Play smart.
5. Asa. I wait for Jess to finish and wipe her nose, and then I bend forward and cover one of my nostrils, inhaling the second line. As soon as I feel the burn, I lean back against the headboard and give myself a moment. You're right, I say to John, who is standing in the doorway. That's good shit. Jess lies down on her back, staring up at the ceiling. She's John's newest girl, but I've never actually taken the time to look at her. She's cute. Not in Sloan's league, but cute enough that I can feel the jeans tighten around my crotch. I motion for John to come get the tray, so he walks over to the bed and picks it up.
You want me to close the deal?
He asks. I'm still staring at his girlfriend when I say, Yeah, you go do that. John reaches for Jess's hand, but I interrupt him. Go alone. I'll keep Jess company. John stares at me like he doesn't understand instructions. Jess is looking back and forth between us. Go, close, the deal, I instruct. She'll be here when you get back. John leaves, but he slams the door as he goes. I hop off the bed and lock it. Jess pushes up on the mattress, looking at me with two eyes full of concern. Or maybe that's anticipation. I smile gently at her, wanting her to feel at ease with me. I sit down on the bed again, leaning back, soaking her in. Take off your dress. Jess stares at me for a moment, looking like she can't decide between running or straddling me. But I can tell the coke is kicking in, because her eyes are starting to glaze and darken. I reach forward and grab her hand, coaxing her closer until she finally is straddling me rather than running. I slide a hand up her thigh until it disappears under the dress. 30 seconds later, the dress is on the floor next to my shirt. She's positioned herself above me, straddling me, her tongue practically digging its way toward my throat. This chick knows what she's doing. That can be both good and bad. I like a girl who knows how to fuck, but it also makes me wonder how many guys she's had to fuck in order to get so good. I reach over to the nightstand and grab a condom, handing it to her. Put it on, I command. She keeps her eyes trained on mine as she opens it, then brings her hands to the button on my jeans. I grab her wrists and shake my head. With your mouth. She grins and begins to lower her head when I hear the footsteps. Then the bedroom doorknob makes an unsuccessful turn. Fuck.
Asa, open the door!
Sloane says from outside the room.
Fuck!
I shove Jess onto her back. I stand up and grab my pants, pulling them on as Jess looks back and forth between the door and me. I pick up her dress and throw it toward the closet, pointing for her to go hide. She stands up and looks insulted, shaking her head. If she thinks she's about to walk out of this room with Sloane on the other side of the door, she's delusional. I grab her by the shoulders and shove her toward the closet.
Just for a few minutes,
I whisper. I try to sound sweet, but there's nothing sweet about this moment. She knows that, so she starts to object by hissing my name. If this bitch lets Sloane know she's in here, she'll ruin everything for me. I feel the rage beginning to bubble. I drop the sweet act and lean in closer, gripping her jaw.
If you make a noise, you're going to regret it, sweetheart.
I squeeze her jaw until her eyes widen and she finally nods, just as Sloane beats on the door for a second time. When I'm certain she understands, I force a fake smile.
2 minutes, Jess,
I whisper.
I'll get rid of her.
I close the closet door, grab a t-shirt off the floor, and then I wipe the stench of Jess off my hands and mouth. I walk to the bedroom door and open it.
It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Why are you asleep?
Sloane shoves past me. She's heading toward the closet, so I grab her by the waist and pull her down onto the bed. She sighs reluctantly when I smile down at her, silently begging for her forgiveness.
I'm sorry,
I say. I had class all day. I'm tired. I can't even remember the last time I went to class, but I'm hoping the lie will ease her resolve. It does. She relaxes and curls into my chest.
You actually went to class today?
I nod and bring my hands to her face, wiping a stray strand of hair out of her eyes. I tuck it behind her ear and then roll her onto her back and hover over her. The distinct bruises on her arms catch my eye, and it reminds me that I never did apologize for that incident in the kitchen.
Yeah, I went to class,
I lie, running my fingers down her arm, over the marks I left on her.
I'm taking it seriously, Sloane. Everything I've promised you. I want to make it better.
I bend down and kiss the fingertip bruises. Sometimes I forget how fragile your skin is. She presses her lips into a thin line and swallows. I can tell she's trying not to cry. This is going to take a little more work than I thought. She's still upset with me.
I swear to you, I'll make it better. I'll make it better for both of us, okay?
I take both of her cheeks between the palms of my hands, and I kiss her deeply. I know a girl likes it when a guy holds her face while he kisses her, like kissing is his only intention. It's bullshit. If guys had their way, their hands would never venture above the tits.
I love you, I say again as I glide my hand down to her waist.
My dick swells in my pants, getting a hell of a lot harder than John's whore in the closet could get it. As many girls as I've been with, I can honestly say Sloane turns me on more than any of them. I don't know what it is about her that I find so much more attractive than the rest of them. Her tits aren't that big, and she's not even that curvy. I think it's her innocence. I like knowing I'm the first and only guy who's ever fucked her. I like knowing I'll be the only guy who'll ever fuck her. I slide my hand underneath Sloane's shirt and pull the lace of her bra down.
Let me make it up to you, I whisper.
I press my mouth to the thin layer of shirt covering her nipple, and I take it between my lips. She moans and arches her back, but then she pushes against my chest.
Asa, I just left the gym. I'm all sweaty. Let me take a shower first.
I release her nipple from my mouth when she offers to leave the room. That'll give me space to get rid of what's-her-name. Go shower. We're going out tonight. She smiles.
We are?
Like on a date? Not like a date. It is a date. She grins and hops off me, heading toward the door. Lock it on your way out, I say.
Why?
I grab the bulge in my pants. I need to finish what you started. She crinkles up her nose and rolls her eyes, but she locks the door behind her. I jump up and check the lock, then turn around, just as Jess comes barging out of my closet. She points her finger at me and practically spits venom when she speaks.
You sick fuck!
I quickly cover her mouth with one hand, and then I grab the hand that's pointing in my face and spin it around, wrapping her arm behind her back. I'm looking down on her with a silent warning to keep her mouth shut. Once I hear the shower kick on across the hall, I slowly remove my hand from Jess's mouth. Her eyes are growing red. She looks scared, which is a good thing. Fear will keep her from ratting me out to Sloane. I grab the dress from her hands and pull it over her head. Get dressed and go, I say. Me and Sloane have a date tonight.
6. Sloane. I slip into the bathroom before class for a quick hair and makeup check. I've never cared before if I looked like I just rolled out of bed, but knowing Carter will be sitting inches away from me for the next hour has me more concerned than usual. The fluorescent lights are unforgiving. The bags under my eyes tell their own truth about last night. Just looking at my reflection, all I see is a girl who stayed up way too late worrying about the guy who promised her a date but never showed. Asa left with his friend John while I was in the shower yesterday, getting ready for him to take me out for the first time in over 5 months. Despite the fact that neither of them was home, the house was still full of people. I stayed up worried about him until I couldn't keep my eyes open anymore. When he finally crawled in bed, then proceeded to crawl on top of me, I was so pissed I just started crying. He didn't even notice. Or he didn't care. I cried the entire time he was on top of me, fucking me like he didn't give a shit who was under him as long as someone was under him. When he finished, he rolled over and fell asleep without a single word. Not an apology, not a thank you, not an I love you. He just rolled over and fell right to sleep without a single thing on his conscience. I rolled over and continued to cry. I cried for the fact that I allow him to do what he does to me. I cried for the fact that I feel like I have no other choice. I cried for the fact that I'm still with him despite the person he's become. I cried for the fact that I have no way out, no matter how much I want to leave. I cried for the fact that despite everything horrible about Asa, I was still worried sick when he didn't come home. I cried because I realized that no matter who he's become, a part of me still has empathy for him. Because I don't know how not to. I turn away from my reflection and head to class because I don't want to look at myself anymore. I'm ashamed of who I've become. Carter is already seated at our table when I walk into Spanish class. I can see him watching me out of the corner of my eye, but I refuse to look at him. After spending an hour with him in class the other day, I think it's safe to say I developed a slight crush. The thought of getting to spend time with him 3 days a week had me giddy, a feeling that had become all too foreign to me. But seeing him in my house, with Asa, of all people, crushed any fantasies I may have had. I never intended for anything to happen with Carter. How could it have? There's no way I can get out of the situation I'm in with Asa, and I'm not a cheater. I was simply looking forward to having a crush. Looking forward to flirting a little bit. Looking forward to feeling desirable. Knowing now that Carter is more like Asa than I could have imagined, I don't want any part of it. Any part of him. The fact that he's now another constant fixture at our house makes him even more off limits. If Asa even had a suspicion that another guy was speaking to me, that guy would be dead. I'd like to say that isn't a literal statement, but it is. Seeing as how he doesn't seem to have a conscience, I 100% believe that Asa is capable of murder. Which is exactly the reason I'm not putting Carter in that situation. I keep telling myself that Carter is just another Asa in different clothing, not worth the risk. I treat this situation with Carter exactly as it is, another roadblock to my eventual escape. I glance around the room for a vacant seat that isn't next to his. I must have spent too much time in the restroom because the class is almost full. There are two seats on the second to top row that are empty, but they're directly in front of the seat Carter is occupying. I avoid his gaze and walk to the empty seats with my head tucked down. I don't know if I can pull off pretending I didn't notice him, but I'm sure as hell going to try. I take one of the seats and sit down, then pull my books out and place them on the table in front of me. I hear a sudden commotion coming from the top row and can't help but turn around. Carter is scooting across the table behind me with his backpack in hand. He hops off the table and pulls the empty chair out next to me, then plops down into it.
"What's this all about?"
he asks, twisting in his chair to face me. "What's what all about?" I ask, opening the text to where we left off on Monday. I can feel him staring at me, but he doesn't say anything. I continue to pretend read, and he continues to silently stare at me until I can't take it anymore. I turn to face him. "What?" I ask, irritated. "What do you want?"